Welcome to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner, shares insight into the financial tools, techniques, and temperaments needed to make the most of your retirement dollars and relationships. Danielle bridges the gap between Wall Street and Main Street, bringing complex financial topics down to earth. Danielle will educate and inspire you as you define and refine your version of prosperity.
Hello and welcome to Wealth Done Differently Retirement with Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner. Danielle has another guest for us, and I'm really excited to get into this. The guest today is Jeff Cole. Jeff Cole is a board-certified coach with a master's degree in contemplative counseling psychology. With his broad perspective on the depths of the human experience, Jeff offers compassion, understanding, and unique insights into motivation and behavior. Good morning, you guys. I'm really excited about this podcast.
It's going to be another good one.
Yeah, I'm psyched to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, Jeff, I really appreciate you giving me a word like contemplative. I'm working on that one. What is contemplative counseling psychology?
Well, really in a nutshell, it's about mindfulness. The graduate program that I went to sort of has a Buddhist-based curriculum, but the general sense is really about mindfulness and being open to looking at your own experience, as well as if you're working one-on-one, your own experience as a therapist and the clients as well. But in terms of couples, it's really both people in the relationship being willing to look at their own experience as well as their partners and see it as sort of this collection of two different experiences, two past histories, and being willing to be open to different possibilities of experience.
And Danielle, you brought him in today. You brought Jeff in. And before we get into kind of how you guys met, we talked a little bit before the podcast and you said you met through his wife. And I actually saw a little write-up. Would you mind if I read a little bit of write-up about the work that he does with his wife as well?
Please.
Okay. Just kind of part of the bio was you and your wife, Lori Ann, provide couples coaching at the Aspen Relationship Institute. And your work there is based on five elements of healthy relationships: emotional safety and trust, mindful communication, which you just spoke about a little bit, intimacy, individuality, and interdependence and partnership. I think that's absolutely beautiful. And Danielle, you met through Lori, correct? How did that work out?
I met Lori at a Aspen Women's Luncheon and was intrigued by the work that they do with couples, again, as it overlaps in the type of work I do with couples. I think it's so important that that understanding of each person's unique experience around money, it comes out in my work with folks. And I can only go so deep with people. So having a connection, a resource to be able to bring to the table for people is important. And I also know that with my own personal 28 years of marriage, that my husband Mark and I have invested a lot into counseling, coaching, retreats, and that this unique experience of togetherness can be challenging, and if we work through the challenges, very, very rewarding. So I appreciate the work that Lori and Jeff are doing here in the Valley and around the country as they bring their skill set to the table, and then how that is interwoven into the financial experience with folks.
Fantastic. So what are we talking about on the podcast today?
I wanted to bring the idea with Jeff here is that usually when we're working with folks, when people call either one of us, is when they're in transition, something happens, and it's usually not necessarily something good. A lot of times people come in when they're in conflict in areas. So I thought we could talk about some of the elements of healthy relationships. And in the areas of rewiring, refiring, kind of that second half of life, and what they can bring to the table for folks as they're heading into this second season of life. One of the healthy areas that the five elements, that emotional safety and trust. And I really feel that one of the ways we build that emotional safety and trust is honestly by getting intimate with our financial lives and sharing our stories, and that our beliefs and our behaviors flow from our stories. So how do you guys work with couples in this, heading into the second season of life, around some of their stories that might not be about money? It might be about any area of their life, but walk us through kind of what you work with clients in building that emotional trust.
It's such a broad topic, and you know, money sort of fits into all the five elements that, in order to really have a healthy financial relationship with your partner, all five of those, the elements that we work with, really are addressed in some way or another. And, you know, looking at the idea of story, almost every challenge that comes up in relationship has something to do with each of the partner's story. It's really what they're bringing to the relationship. It's about history, personal history. It's about upbringing. It's about what was modeled by parents. So much of the challenge in relationship comes when you have two different stories that are being brought in by each partner, and sometimes they oppose each other. Sometimes there's differences. And really, one of the big pieces of working with couples is helping each of the members of the couple understand that what they're bringing is a story. It is their truth, but it is also a unique truth to them based on all the things that they've experienced in their lives. And so in order to build this emotional safety, and the trust piece is that each partner has to be willing to understand that their partner's story may be a little different. And this really comes out around money. Money is such a generational, we're taught so much about it generationally, and it's really sort of how it's being modeled by our parents. And I would say in the most part, it's not necessarily modeled in the most positive of ways. And I know for me, you know, my parents were always fighting about money. There was never enough. There's also a big piece about gender roles, and about, you know, when I was growing up, it was pretty traditional that the husband was making the money. He was out earning the money. The mom was at home, and there was sort of a imbalance between, you know, who got to make the financial decisions, because I remember my dad would always say, well, I make the money, so I get to decide how we spend it. And so when they split, and there was this whole thing about child support, and you know, my mom never thinking that we had enough, and she would sort of hide away some of the money that she got for make sure that we didn't run out of money. And she always told my brother and I that we didn't have enough money, and if we wanted more, we had to go to our dad to get more. And so I grew up with really the sort of negative perception about
scarcity mindset.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that communication around money was always really uncomfortable. So this idea of this generational thing, where until someone decides to change it, it's going to keep going that way. And so my perception of what communication around financial matters is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think that happens a lot with the clients we work with, that they grew up around the discomfort around talking about money. So they bring that into their own relationship, and it's challenging.
I think, again, we look at this area, and generational, it plays out even into our 50s and 60s. It's these stories that are so ingrained. I think that many times we just end up going on autopilot as we go through life. And then all of a sudden we hit this transitory season of, well, I'm 65 years old. I'm supposed to start taking retirement. I'm supposed to leave the workforce. And now I'm supposed to don my white linen and sail off into the sunset with a cocktail in my hand. And that may be based on whether it's stories of your personal family life or what the media has imposed on us. And I think that opportunity to have those conversations about what is true, what is not true for you, what is working, what is not working, and how do we cultivate financial health in our relationships, whether it's with our spouse, whether it's with our adult children, whether it's with our parents. And a lot of it is just about that conversation, that recognition of story, that bringing things into the light. I am seeing a lot of silver marriages where it just magnifies, whether it's the financial stories or people have more history in their belief systems and they're more entrenched and they might have more connection or emotional disconnect with their financial lives. Do you guys work with folks that are transitioning into new marriages, and how do you help them kind of bring this type of stuff to the surface?
That's a great question and a really important topic to look at. We do a lot of premarital coaching, and usually that tends to be, well, originally it was more with younger people and really bringing up that idea of having to have communication about expectations and stories and all those kinds of things around money is really challenging in and of itself there. But as you said, you add years and years of financial history when you have couples who may be getting married at an older age or in second marriages, and you do have all this added story. You also have a lot more, I think, like you said, emotional investment in that story. And in order to bring two people together who have accumulated not just story, but actual wealth or property, or and there may be other factors, like they may have
adult children, or they may alimony be to an ex-spouse,
alimony, child support, all of that. And there is a reluctance. You know, I see younger people, generally the idea is that we'll just throw everything into one pot and, you know, we'll go from there. It's usually not a lot, so they're starting out with whatever they're starting out with, and it's really not all that complicated. But when you have two older people who have those financial histories, it does become really challenging to have that interaction and the communication, because there's a lot of emotional attachment to it. There's this sense about, well, if there's a decision not to combine money or to keep things separate, there's always this, I think, this latent feeling of, well, you don't trust me, maybe,
right?
Or maybe you're not really planning on being with me for the rest of your life, so you're keeping things separate because we don't want to, you know, we want to make sure that we don't complicate things.
So it might not even be around the money. It's the underlying emotions that kind of come out with the financial decisions. So it's not right or wrong. I mean, it's just asking the questions and opening up the communication. Should we combine our finances? There might be a reason why or why not. And for people to let go of their maybe emotional connection with, oh, I don't trust. Is it about trust? And really work through that underlying, what's really driving this? Because it isn't the bank account or the investment account. It's a lot more of that emotional, that trust, the other five elements that are coming out sideways in the financial decisions.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really where even this idea of contemplative counseling comes in, because it is really looking at the underlying emotion and story and meaning that we attach to the content. I mean, the content is the money, and it's not to say that the content isn't important, because especially with money, it is. It's pretty, at least in the content, it's pretty black and white. It's, you know, these are the best practices, these are the results of this behavior, and so on. And yet underneath the surface, under the line between, you know, content and story, that's really where the work is. It's, mm-hmm. It's, of course, we need folks like you who are working with the content and really know what to do. And you also need to understand that there's all this emotion going on underneath, and the stories and the meanings that are being attached to whatever's happening above that line. And there's a lot of vulnerability there. There's a lot of fear. Like you said, that scarcity mentality, you know, you use that term financial intimacy, which made me chuckle a little bit, because it's sort of counterintuitive, almost like an oxymoron. Like, how do you have this idea of financial intimacy? But in order to do that, you know, intimacy, really, the definition is sort of being radically vulnerable and radically mm-hmm. open. And in order to have that intimacy, you have to have that vulnerability. And money and financial issues is sort of last place we want to be vulnerable. We want to be
scary.
We want to be protective, and we want to be defensive. And that's this all about the story and the meaning that we attach to the content. And we have to look at how that shuts us down and how that keeps us from being vulnerable and then ultimately financially intimate.
Yeah. And it keeps you from living your true version of prosperity. It keeps you from living in your financial integrity. I really appreciate what you guys do around the mindfulness connection. And I know that's a big word out nowadays, is how can we be more mindful? And I appreciate what you guys do in that area and how, again, it overlaps into that financial space as people move into their fall season of life. Because I think, again, what the media has put on us is, oh, you're just supposed to build up this great big bucket of money and then turn on a spigot and live a life of ease. And I think connecting with mindfulness and being intentional about what you want that season of life to look like and how your financial decisions are going to be a flow of that is really, really important. I'm just going to give a quick example. Mark and I, last summer, were hearing about all these people that were heading to Europe for bike trips. And we were like, oh, that sounds great. Let's do that. Let's go next spring. Mark spent a whole bunch of time planning a trip to Austria and Slovenia and Croatia. And we had everything kind of arranged, looking at plane flights. And it was an expensive trip. And I reconnected, you know, I reconnected with my planner in me. And I have to live what I'm talking to other people about, to be able to say, just because we can, should we? And we asked ourselves, is this trip really, is it on our bucket list? Is it reflective of what we really value in what we want to use our time for? It would be an awesome trip. But when we reconnected with that mindfulness and we're willing to get a little bit vulnerable in saying, yeah, no, my bucket list looks a little bit different than that. Well, mine does too. Why are we going someplace that'd be really cool, but it's not reflective of what we value or what our bucket list is? And so that's one simple example of a financial decision that was shifted because we decided to have mindful communication, to get vulnerable about what's important to us. And what played out in that, most people go, well, you guys are nuts. You're not going on a great trip. But I think what will play out down the road will be even more fulfilling and rewarding.
This idea of mindfulness is amazingly powerful in relationships. And maybe to be a little bit clear about what my definition of mindfulness is, or at least what we work with, is really non-judgmental awareness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And those, you know, you have to have both the non-judgment and really the awareness of the dynamic of a situation. And so in order to do that, both people do need to look at a situation and look at decisions really without that judgment, self-judgment or judgment of other. And, you know, I really like what you said about values, because I think that really plays into this whole scenario as well. And I think because money is such this generational thing, that we do tend to either not know or really not live in our personal values, or not really allow that to grow and to be discovered. And so when couples are making financial decisions, there often is this sort of lack of attention to values. And that's where this mindfulness or non-judgmental awareness comes in. And it's really being open to exploring your own values and also looking at a way to sync them up with your partner, and so that you are making decisions that you don't regret and that you don't feel, you know, with decisions, there's always a sense of loss. You decide one mm-hmm. thing or another, or to do something or to not do something. And you kind of have to be aware of that. And certainly today there's this whole FOMO thing, of the fear of missing out.
Oh my gosh, all over Facebook, you see everybody doing traveling and having a lot of fun. And you've decided to have a potluck at home with your neighbors and play games and not put that on Facebook. So
yeah. And if that's what your values are at the time, then honor that. And trying this non-judgmental piece is about non-judgment about self, mm-hmm. that you're still okay if you decide not to go to Europe on this bike trip, and that the values that you have really are aligned more with another choice.
And it's also that idea of interdependence in relationship. And I think as you know, we look at this fall season of life, this idea of rewirement, refirement, reaspirement, to honor each other's journey in creating that new aspect of themselves. So my husband retired from a 10-year career in teaching. I've given him, it's like we talk about this gap year, explore, play, figure out what's next. And I've wrestled with letting go of my expectations around what you're home all day. I've got the to-do list. Yeah. And so I appreciate, again, what you guys are doing with folks to help them embrace that idea of independence and interdependence. And let's stay away from that codependent stuff. But can you speak a little bit to how do you cultivate that independence and interdependence in partnerships?
Yeah, sure. It also brings up a bigger topic too about transitions, and that, you know, we all have a style of attachment, and we work really deeply with attachment styles. And as you're saying, the healthy form of attachment is interdependence. Really, that's being secure in your own essence and your own sense of yourself, and also being able to connect on a deep level with someone else. And those patterns generally are formed with our primary caregiver as we're children, but we carry those over into the rest of our lives. And they are impacted by big transitions in our lives, especially in transitions in relationship. And certainly, you know, when we first meet someone and we're madly in love and have all these intoxicating feelings, and there is a different way that we interact with someone and how we attach with that person. But then there's this big transition into the sort of post-honeymoon phase, and more of our typical patterned ways of attaching come back out. And sort of understanding what your own and your partner's styles are really important to see how the interactions are formed between the two of you. And as we get older, there are other big transitions that happen. There's certainly becoming an empty nester. All of a sudden, the common bond that you had, the common goal, the common purpose of raising
kids, those kids
is gone.
Yep.
But kids also can serve as a distraction from some of the dysfunction in a relationship. And it's much easier to sort of put those dysfunction, those issues on hold to say, well, it's okay, we have this other really important thing to deal with. And so when your kids go off to college, you have sort of this dynamic one of, we no longer have this common purpose together. And so we
have to look at our stuff.
We have to reassess what we have. We also don't have the distraction from some of the issues that are happening. And this transition is a really big opportunity to look at the idea of interdependence and healthy attachment, to see if the ways that it's been going, if that was working, if that wasn't working. And then we have the one of the big transition of retirement, like you're talking about.
The season formerly known as retirement.
Yeah, where you working, at least when one person's working, you don't see your partner all day. You see them in the morning, you go to work, you see them in the evening, you see them on the weekends. And then you have a retirement, and then all of a sudden you're with them a lot more often.
And so, you've also have the you've lost the identity of your work structure, the social connections, and there's so much going on that it's a powerful, powerful time.
Yeah, absolutely. Your role in the family is, in the dynamic is different. Your role in the partnership is different. And so, yes, a lot is changing. And then you add in the financial piece of, did we save enough? Are we financially healthy enough in retirement? Can we live the life we want to live? Did we talk about this stuff enough? As I was thinking more about this, there's so many things that I didn't even really consider, like legacy. Like, are we planning to spend all of our money?
Slide into the grave writing your last check and have it bounce.
That's exactly what, yeah. Or, you know, is it really important for us to create college funds for our grandkids? Or there's also looking at the parents of adult children. You know, are we going to need to care for them? Are they still alive?
There's a lot of moving parts.
Absolutely.
And the more you can communicate, the more you can put all this stuff out on the table and do it in a way where it's non-judgmental, where you are willing to open that box of maybe some of the emotional, the stories, the thoughts of what it should look like, or, you know, what you thought it should be, and say, is that really, is that true? Or do we need to take a look at that? And what are your values? What are you aspiring to create in your unique version of true prosperity? I think there's just so much powerful work in building relationships, whether it's with a spouse, significant other, you know, or multi-generational, with your kids or with your parents. And as I unpack, yeah, the financial pieces, and you guys continue to do your work on how do we build these healthy relationships, I'm excited about what's happening in the world. I'm excited about what's happening here in the Roaring Fork Valley, that we have all of these team members, all of these resources that people can access to really help them become their next best self. So how do people get a hold of you and Lori? And I know you have several workshops throughout the year. This podcast will go out after the one you're doing this week, but share with us a little bit about what you guys are doing, how people can get a hold of you.
Sure. Well, our website is aspenrelationshipcoaching.com. There's a email info@aspenrelationshipcoaching.com. And that's probably the best way to get in touch with us. And we do try to do pretty regular workshops. We are doing one, as you said, that will have already happened. We partnered with Lead With Love, and it's a Valentine's Day event. But we do, every year, we do partner with Lead With Love and do a workshop there. We try to do a series of workshops on our five elements. That's been an important part of being in the community and helping try to support the community, because we really believe that the health of a community and the foundation of a community is really based on the relationship between the two smallest parts, and that's a partnered relationship. And if that's healthy, it sort of trickles down and radiates around through the kids, through the workplace, however each person is involved in the community. And so we really do really honor and treasure that bond, the partnered bond, because that really is the foundation of a healthy community.
That's that pebble in the pond, and the ripple effect
will be huge.
Yeah. And I appreciate the work you guys are doing and how it overlaps with what I'm doing with folks. I look forward to working with you ongoingly and in some of the opportunities for workshops and speaking engagements, etc. If you're wanting to find out about my e-course, I've got an 8-week retirement Doing Your Dollars Differently e-course that can be found at DanielleHoward4letteru.com. I also do a workshop, Financial Fingerprints to Footprints, which actually delves into story and belief systems and behaviors and where do you want to step into and move forward with. And more information about that is on that website also. Or if you want to come in for a face-to-face meeting with us, you can find that information in our Journey of Financial Health at www.wealthbydesign4letteru.com. Anything else you want to add to wind things down, Jeff?
Well, I was curious if you do find yourself working more and more with premarital couples. I don't know if that's, you know, certainly wasn't on my radar when I got married, but it is, you know, we have a premarital program, and we're actually coming out with an ebook as well for a premarital course. And we do work through theknot.com, which is the wedding site. But I'm curious if you do find people seeking out your counsel for premarital.
More and more silver marriages. I mean, there's these folks that said, wow, we're done with the kids, and now things have changed, and you know, they choose to do things differently. I am working with more and more couples on this. And again, from a perspective of understanding what it looks like to have good communication skills. There's no right or wrong, but we want to have everything out on the table as far as how you're moving forward. Are there prenuptial agreements that you're wanting to put in place? What are the details of that? What are you all bringing to the table? But bottom line, what are you creating moving forward? Because my goal is to build on people's wins, what has worked in your lives as you enter this new season, and how do you want to create something beautiful together? whether it's new or whether you've been working on it for 27 years, we're all still a work in progress, and we have the opportunity to build on our character assets and minimize the character liabilities and that intentional financial flow that will ensue from that.
Yeah, I like the word intentional. That's a big piece in the work we do with couples too. So thank you.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. It was great to talk with you.
Appreciate it.
This was fantastic. I got to tell you, I enjoyed just sitting back and listening to you two talk. And Jeff, you hit on a couple points there that really hit home with me. My wife and I are recent empty nesters. And this past weekend, she surprised me. It was more like she tricked me to go take a look at an animal that needed to be rehomed, a pot-bellied pig. And I'll tell you what, cute as a button. Her name's Mary. My wife really wanted this pig. And then I started to do the research, and we had to come to that understanding and that, you know, where you're depending on each other and you're putting the emotion aside, but being able to say, you know what, this thing could possibly grow to over 200 pounds and destroy our entire yard. So I'm going to have to say no, honey. She was like, she's looking at it going, oh yeah, maybe not. And the fact that it'll live another 20 years, and that's pretty much when I'm going to hopefully retire someday. I don't want a pig. Yep. Yeah. So that was a very non-emotional, but somewhat emotional conversation. But we both agreed that pigs are left best in bacon form. Sorry. Yeah. So God bless Mary. She's a great pig, and she was very emotionally attached to me, but I'm going to go ahead and let somebody else house the pig.
Sounds like a good idea.
All right, Jeff, thank you so much for your time today. And Daniel, thank you for ringing in. This was a great podcast, and I look forward to hopefully you bringing Jeff back as a guest again, especially if you guys can hook up and do some classes and things together. I think that would be a great combination.
Yes. Looking forward to it.
And hopefully we can bring Lori along as
yes.
well.
Yes. Yes. I'd like to meet Lori as well. Again, thank you for coming in, and thank you all for listening to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast with Daniel Howard. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Daniel comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Wealth Done Differently Retirement, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Wealth by Design, LLC. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Danielle Howard, Certified Financial Planner, is an investment advisor representative of Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Cambridge and Wealth by Design, LLC are not affiliated.